all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And welcome to Veterans Radio. I am Jim Fossone with VeteransRadio.net. We are recording today from the Legal Help for Veterans studio in Northville, Michigan. Legal Help for Veterans is a veterans disability law firm. You can reach us at 800-693-4800.
We want to welcome to Veterans Radio Gina Elise. Gina is the founder of a nonprofit called Pinups for Vets. Gina, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're glad you called in, and from, I'm sure it's sunny California, although it's cold here in the Midwest. It's always nice in California, I'm told.
Yes, it's beautiful today.
So tell us about the concept of Pinup for Vets.
Sure. So it was basically back in 2006, and there were a lot of stories coming out in the news about our troops coming back from Iraq needing medical care. And I just felt really strongly that I wanted to do something to help out. Sometimes things just really strike a chord with you. And I felt like I wanted to do something to support our troops and veterans. And I've been a fan of pinup art for a long time. They used to paint these beautiful women on the side of aircraft during World War II to boost the morale of the troops, remind them of what they were fighting for. I just feel it's such a beautiful celebration of a woman. And I thought I would take that concept and bring it into today to create a fundraiser pinup calendar that we could use to support our veterans and troops today. And fast forward 14 years, here we are. We have a number of different initiatives that support the veteran community, everything from donating state-of-the-art rehab equipment to veterans hospitals nationwide, to a 50-state hospital tour where we dress up as 1940s pinups and we hand deliver our calendars as gifts of appreciation to the hospitalized veterans. The unique thing now about our calendars is that they actually feature female veterans as the models. And it's always very special because a lot of these ladies come into the hospitals with me. You know, we call them Pinups for Vets ambassadors. They're our volunteers. And when we're standing with the patients are always very surprised to find out that the ladies in front of them wearing the 1940s attire are also veterans. And so there's that really special veteran to veteran bond. You know, where did you serve? Where did you serve? And it's just, to me, I think it's really important for healing, that special connection.
Well, it also gives the ladies who volunteer here Pinup for Vets ambassadors a new opportunity or a new way for them to serve their fellow vets by helping in that healing process, doesn't it?
It really does. A lot of them have told me that they've found a renewed sense of purpose after getting out, you know, volunteering with us. And you know, one of our ambassadors, she said about volunteering with our organization, I came for the service, but I stayed for the sisterhood. So these ladies have become such a strong support network for each other. And so not only is it, you know, special for the patients that we're visiting, but it's also helped our own ambassadors, our own female veterans, you know, really to find a renewed sense of purpose and also to reclaim their femininity after getting out of the military.
Well, I think that's certainly one of the things that I've seen online, some of the statements by some of your female ambassadors who may have been a truck driver or may have been a doctor or a nurse, a pilot. And so one of them said, I haven't had makeup on like this maybe in my entire life. I've never felt like this. So it is an interesting transition from being in Afghanistan to really being a amateur model in this, you know, retro 1940s look.
And I feel like these ladies are so multifaceted, and to be able to show that they can do both, you know, they can do everything. They can, you know, go on deployments. They can come back and be, you know, a model in a pinup calendar. They're so dynamic. And I think, you know, it's really been inspirational to a lot of other women. I actually have mothers emailing me to tell me, hey, you know, Gina, I'm showing my daughter you know, your calendar. And I'm explaining about these beautiful women, you know, not only are they beautiful on the outside, they're beautiful on the inside because of what they do, you know, after the service, they're giving back. And so I just think it's such a celebration of these incredible, resilient women.
Well, for those who may not understand what 1940s look is or what the retro look is, talk about the fashion a little bit.
Yeah, so we really try to remain true to the aesthetic of the 1940s. Red lips, the cat eye liner on the eyes, the flower in the hair. We wear dresses when we go into the hospitals that are, you know, usually down to the knee. And very almost conservative dresses. Just sort of like that 1940s style. A lot of them are kind of flare out at the waist with really pretty, you know, bright, colorful patterns. I like it when we're wearing really bright and colorful things, especially in the hospitals, because, you know, as you know, hospitals can be very stark and sterile. And so it's kind of nice to see that pop of color.
This look doesn't get pulled off by going to the local department store and pulling it off the rack. And the hair and makeup isn't what you're normally going to find. So
right.
tell us a little bit about the whole support network to pull this off.
Yeah, well, producing the calendar is a huge project. I mean, it takes about 6 months from start to finish. And of course, we're doing multiple other things at the same time. But you know, it's everything from location scouting, casting, actually, you know, doing the photography to the post-production, editing, graphic design, and printing. So that whole calendar, it's a huge process. And, you know, we have a team to help us, the photographer, hair and makeup artist. We work with an amazing clothing brand called Voodoo Vixen that's providing the outfits. As far as, you know, when we do our hospital visits, the girls have really just taken this look, you know, they've committed so much to it. They watch tutorials on YouTube about how to get that 1940s hair just right. I mean, they have a whole wardrobe now with pinup outfits. They love it. They always ask me, when's our next hospital visit? When's our next event? It just brings them so much joy to be able to do this. And that makes me so happy.
Well, I'm going to come back to the hospital visits in a minute here, but let me stick with the calendar for a moment because you mentioned it, and I had made my own notes earlier in getting ready, and the composition of the photographs for each month are really well done. The background info, you know, where the things are set up. This is a very, very professionally composed set of pictures for this calendar. Tell us a little bit about that inspiration.
So I'm a perfectionist and I want to make sure to put out an amazing quality product every year. You know, the calendar is helping us to fundraise to support all of these different initiatives that we have. And, you know, it's a matter of just locking down really visually interesting locations. We like to shoot with classic cars, with the vintage aircraft, you know, old school diners, just some things that, you know, you would look at and give you a sense of nostalgia. And so it's a huge process, but I'm pretty selective about how the calendar looks. Like I said, I'm a perfectionist and I want to put out a really, really nice product each year. You know, so our supporters want to come back and support, you know, year after year.
Well, you can tell you're a perfectionist in these photographs and the way the calendar is put together. And if people go to pinupsforvets.com, they'll see the photos I'm talking about. But how do you keep replicating this for 14 years? That's not easy to do.
No, I mean, I look at pinup books all the time. I'm a huge fan of, you know, multiple pinup artists. And so I get inspiration for that. So yeah, sometimes it's challenging to find things that look a little bit different, but you know, we have different models every year, it's different clothing. And so, yeah, we just try to really mix it up each year to keep it fresh.
Well, I think you've done a wonderful job. And I was going to ask you where the veteran models, I'm going to use that term, even though they're amateur models, but where those ladies come from? How do they find you?
All over. So we usually put a casting notice out on our social media in the spring. And we got so many submissions this year. I think we had over 200 submissions from female veterans across the country. We asked them to submit some pictures, tell us about their, a little bit about themselves, talk to us about what they did in the military. So we want to find ladies with really good stories to share. And so it's quite a process to go through and select the ladies. And, you know, a calendar is only 12 months, so we only have a certain amount of spots. But it's actually such an honor that so many lady veterans want to be in the calendar every year.
Well, let's turn to the hospital visits, because I think that's an interesting aspect of the work that your nonprofit organization is doing and has been doing all over the country and actually internationally. So talk to us about how hospital visits started and where it's grown to.
Yeah. So, you know, I never really intended for this to become my life. When I started, you know, it was sort of like a project on the side as a way for me to give back. And I just, you know, I thought that it might be nice to actually take the calendars into hospitals and deliver them as gifts, you know, as we were starting off fundraising so we could buy rehab equipment for hospitals. So I thought it would be nice to actually, you know, deliver these as gifts at the patient's bedside. And, you know, when I started doing that, I saw the impact that those visits made. You know, I would get dressed up 1940s style, and it's always such a surprise. A lot of times our veterans are laying in bed for months, you know, weeks, maybe months on end with no visitors. Some of them don't have friends and family close by. And so, you know, a visit is just a way to brighten their day, to show that someone out there is remembering them, that they're appreciated, that we're not forgetting about their service and their sacrifice. And it's quite a blast from the past, you know, walking in and something they don't really expect. And I've had really amazing things happen on my hospital visits. And in fact, recently, one of my ambassadors told me that she sent this to me in a quote. So I wanted to get this. She said that she was passing a veteran in the hospital. And he said, "Thank you so much for bringing light to me on a hard day. I feel so much better going into surgery now." So I think sometimes it's really the small things that can make the biggest impact. You know, a little distraction can go a long way. A lot of times when we're finishing up on a hospital ward and we were walking back to the elevator to go to the next floor, you can look in the rooms and see the veterans flipping through their calendar. And, you know, when you're going through challenges in life, you know, for all of us, it's nice to just have a little break just from reality for a little while. I think that's so important for healing. And as the years went on, I started getting contacted by female veterans asking me, "Hey, you know, I'd like to be involved. Can I go on a hospital visit with you?" They feel so strongly about giving back to, you know, their brothers and sisters in arms. And that was quite a transition when we started having female veterans come on our hospital visits with us, because, you know, it's like I was saying, it's a win-win, because not only is it helpful to these ladies, you know, it's just, like I said, it's given them a new purpose again, you know, after getting out of the military, and to be able to, they call it service after service. That's what they tell me, to be able to continue to give back, to connect with their fellow brothers and sisters in arms. That veteran brotherhood, sisterhood is so strong. I can see it immediately, you know, when we're in the hospitals. And it's such a magic moment. I wish I could just, you know, share this with everybody so they could see what it's really like. But, you know, when we go in and I introduce them, "Oh, this is, you know, she's a Marine veteran, she's an Army veteran," and then the veteran in the bed will say, "Wait, she's a veteran?"
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. You know, she's a veteran. And then they talk about, "Oh, well, where did you serve?" And it's sometimes they end up, you know, they've served in the same place or on the same ship. And it's just that's such a magic connection. And the ladies especially love getting to meet with their fellow female veterans, you know, in the hospitals as well. And
you've done this dozens and dozens and dozens of time.
We visited with over 13,000 veterans across the country and in 31 states.
Which really shows that it is something that is universal. It's not a California thing. It's not a Florida thing. It's really universal, isn't it?
It really is. And it's just, it's really about just bringing happiness and showing appreciation. That's what it's about.
Well, unfortunately, there's always haters in the world. And any, or the old saying goes, you know, no good deed goes unpunished. Somewhere along the line, people decided that this wasn't an appropriate activity. And where it first came to light to me was an article that I think it was the San Diego VA first invited you to come and then said, oh, don't come this time. You know, not, we're revoking the authorization to visit the veterans. Tell us a little bit about that problem and how surprising it might have been.
Yeah, so we had two female Marines go in and talk to volunteer services about making a visit. They locked the visit down, and then one of them got a call saying that, you know, we're not able to come because they felt that the visit would essentially incite catcalling from the veterans at the hospital. And to be honest, I've been doing this for 14 years and have visited with thousands and thousands and thousands of veterans, and we get the utmost respect from both male and female veterans when we're visiting, you know, and so I just didn't really understand that. And then, you know, our supporters got pretty upset about it and called and emailed, and then they reversed saying that we could come visit, but that the last that I understand is that we can't hand out the calendars. So I mean, I'm not really sure. To me, it's just baffling because we're trying to do something good. And I just don't understand the pushback from it. I mean, we've had such incredible letters from other hospitals around the country. And so to me, it's confusing why, when you're trying to do something positive for the veteran community, you know, why are we having this pushback from the staff there?
And we're talking to Gina Elise, who's the founder of Pinups for Vets, a nonprofit, a 501c3. And you've been doing this, as you say, for 14 years. Is here in 2019 the first time that you're getting this kind of negative reaction?
We had an issue a couple years back at the Sioux Falls VA where something similar happened. But then again, they, you know, got bombarded by our supporters with emails and calls, and then they reversed that decision too.
Well, and you post on your website, which is pinupsforvets.com, you have a lot of the VA hospital letters of appreciation.
We have so many letters. In fact, I mean, I just pulled one up. So the chief of volunteer services from the Oklahoma VA wrote to us, "The impact of the time you took providing a smile, the impact of the time you took to providing a smile, good conversation, and most importantly, the recognition to our valuable veterans is not expressible by mere words. Your visit was simply the best visit I have been a part of since my beginning as a volunteer services chief." And then I have another email, another message, a recreation therapist at the LA VA wrote, "Overall, the veterans' quality of life increases and their spirits are so uplifted. I can personally see an improvement in their cognitive, physical, and social functioning." So we've had letter after letter after letter from staff at hospitals around the country about, you know, the impact that these visits make.
And so you can kind of write this off as to, well, it's just one person at the San Diego VA. Mm-hmm. But Gina, you and I spoke before we started recording that unfortunately, there are more critics, one fairly high profile that recently wrote a piece for The Hill, Kayla Williams, who was the director of the Center for Women Veterans at the Department of Veterans Affairs. She served in that role. She's now a senior fellow at an organization, and she's a former veteran herself, Army veteran, and we've spoken to her here on Veterans Radio, but I was very surprised to see her take up the argument that this is inappropriate activity in a VA hospital, that it objectifies women. Give me your thoughts about her position and what this continued criticism does to the organization?
I mean, we're just going to keep doing what we do because we know the impact that it makes. I guess I just don't understand if as a woman, you can't wear a hair flower and a dress down to your knees, what are you supposed to wear? I mean, I guess I just, it's so confusing for me because we dressed, to be honest, a lot more conservative than people dress today. You know, we are wearing these gorgeous outfits, you know, inspired by the 1940s. A comment that I always get from people is, Gina, thank you so much for keeping it so classy. Thank you for keeping history alive. And so to me, people that comment that have never been on the hospital visits with us, they don't know what it's like. You know, they haven't been on a visit with us. So it's, you know, they can't really say what it's like.
The statement that Kayla Williams, formerly director of Center for Women Veterans at the VA, wrote, she said, organizations that objectify women and reinforce sexist stereotypes with their attire or merchandise are not welcome. And I, you know, as a general statement, who's going to object to that kind of statement? But I didn't understand its application to what you're doing. And yeah, I guess I like your reaction to, based on the reactions of the veterans, do you feel that you're objectifying women or reinforcing sexist stereotypes?
To be honest, the ladies love doing this. They feel that, you know, they don't want to be judged for what they're doing. The female veterans love doing this. In fact, let me read you a statement from one of our ambassadors. She said, being a volunteer with Pinup Servettes and a veteran myself, I know how much this organization changes lives. In no way have I ever felt demeaned or have ever been catcalled while on hospital visits. This organization not only brings light into the lives of hospitalized veterans, but has personally provided me a way to take back my femininity on my own terms. As a woman veteran with PTSD, it's hard to reconnect after military life. Pinup Servettes has truly saved my life and created a tight-knit group of other women veterans that I can reach out to and connect with when times are tough. There's nothing about this organization that promotes negativity or objectification of women. So she's saying that it saved her life being involved with us. And so I've only seen positive things come out of what we do. The ladies actually find it, you know, pretty disrespectful when people say that this, that, you know, it's exploiting women or it's objectifying because they're so classy. So I don't know. It's really sad that someone, you know, would say something like that, that has not been on a hospital visit with us and doesn't know what it's like.
I also think there's that particular Hill article had a number of people jump in and, you know, submit their own individual thing that was negative, but it sort of felt like, well, we're really not talking about Pinup for Vets, but we're going to beat that drum because that's the one in front of us. We're really talking about something else, and that's got to be a bit demoralizing for your ambassadors.
Yeah, I mean, they just don't understand what the big deal is. You know, we're trying to do something positive and do it in a very classy way. And I mean, like I said, I've never experienced that when we've been in hostels. We've been doing this for 14 years and have visited with over 13,000 veterans. You know, we get the utmost respect from both male and female veterans. And someone that has not been on a hospital visit and is commenting on what it's like, you know, my ambassadors just, they love doing it. It's been a positive force in their life, you know, to be able to give back to their fellow brothers and sisters, to be able to do it in a creative way while embracing their femininity. And I only see positive things come out of it.
Well, I think your work has probably touched a lot of people the right way. And I'm sort of surprised if this gets any continuing momentum. And that's why I was surprised by the article. Will this change anything that you're doing? Do you see either VA hospitals backing away at the moment or changes in your approach on how you might continue with the organization?
No, to me, it's just important to demonstrate what we do. And I want to keep doing what we've been doing. And, you know, I'm a perfectionist, you know, when it comes to how, you know, the organization is. And I feel so proud of what we've been able to accomplish. You know, there's veterans across the country that are using rehab equipment that we've donated to those hospitals. So it's helping veterans to get better, you know, boosting morale. We've done morale boosting makeovers for military wives and female veterans. I have units deployed asking, Gina, can you please send us some calendars? So we're trying to make an impact in the military and veteran community in multiple ways. And we like to do it in a creative way. So to me, I just want to keep forging ahead and to keep giving back to America's heroes. I mean, I have been so lucky to work with the veteran community for 14 years. The people I meet inspire me daily. Just their resilience, their work ethic, their discipline. This is why I'm so compelled to continue giving back and serving. And if you just look at the reaction from our own supporters about what happened, you'll be able to understand that they are 100% behind what we do and want us to keep going. I got so many messages, Gina, do not let this deter you. Please keep doing what you're doing.
Perfect. I was hoping you'd reveal what you're feeling and what people are telling you. And if our listeners on Veterans Radio want to keep following Gina, Elise, and Pinups for Vets, where should they connect with you?
Sure. They can check us out at pinupsforvets.com, or we are on social media on Facebook, Pinups for Vets, also on Instagram and Twitter at Pinups for Vets.
Well, we really appreciate you taking some time today to talk to Veterans Radio about the work that's been done for 14 years and to address the controversy that's sort of developed a little bit here in 2019. But the words that I heard you use, like classy and professional and perfectionist, all apply to what I've seen. And I think I hope all the ladies keep up the good work.
Thank you.
And I want to thank everybody for listening to Veterans Radio today. I am Jim Fossone. It's been a pleasure to be your host. I'm a veterans disability lawyer at Legal Help for Veterans. And you can reach us at 800-693-4800. Or legalhelpforveterans.com on the web. You can follow Veterans Radio on Facebook and listen to its podcasts and internet radio shows by going to veteransradio.net. And until next time, you are dismissed.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
Veterans Radio needs you. If you like our shows that are informative, surprising stories, and relevant information on what's happening at the VA and the military, we'd like your support. Individual support of $5 to $50 a month or corporate sponsorship of $1,000 to $10,000 would be welcomed. You can go to veteransradio.net, click on the sponsorship or support tab, pay online, and keep Veterans Radio on the air.